TV.
Yeah, I could have gotten myself arrested today. I almost did. Well, not really almost, but something weird happened to me at the 7-Eleven today as I was running my 8-mile route up 17th Street, then across A1A, the ocean route, and then back on Las Olas Boulevard. I'm going to tell you about that in a second. I'm going to tell you why it would be fine for you to get the Mark of the Beast. You heard it here. I'm totally confident in telling you what I'm telling you. I don't know anybody else that would tell you this on the whole planet, but I am confident in God, confident in Christ, confident in our being designated beforehand for the place of a son. I'm confident in all that stuff, and I'm confident in Romans 13:1. Going to get to that. But then, after I get to that, I'm going to tell you why I don't think we'll even have to face that issue, and that also has to do with Romans 13:1. And then following all that, if that wasn't good enough, what's this attached to my wine glass here? What is this? It looks like a growth of some kind. Looks like the kind of stuff that grows on potatoes. Some guy wrote me today and said, Martin, I wish you would get right to the point on your shows. I can't even keep watching because you talk about things, other things. You mean like things growing on the end of my wine glass that looks like the things that grow on potatoes? You mean like that? Hang in there, sir. Stick with me. You'll learn a lot. All right? I'm going to get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 because we got to get past this Mark of the Beast thing. I mean, it's happening. It's here. And we're not in it. We're not in it. I'm not saying we're in it, but we're close to being in it. It's just going to be a narrow escape. But our God is faithful. Our God has made promises to us through Paul, through our evangel, that we are not appointed to indignation, and we will be snatched away, withdrawn to our celestial realm before the last 7 years begins, because the last 7 years belongs to Israel. We don't belong to Israel. We're a separate entity called the body of Christ. So there I was. It's quite a hot and humid day here in Fort Lauderdale. It was probably 85. The humidity may have been around 75%. And there I was running my 8-mile route. I'm going down 17th Street, which is actually the street I live on, but it's actually the main street heading to the beach, the Atlantic Ocean. So I go over the bridge that goes over the Intercoastal Waterway. That's a long waterway. It runs the entire length of the state of Florida. It's about a quarter mile off the ocean. I don't know why it's there. It's kind of ridiculous. Why do we need an intercoastal waterway when we have the ocean right over there? I don't know. But I'm very thirsty, so I stop at the 7-Eleven. I don't do this very often. I usually stop at the 7-Eleven on Las Olas Boulevard. Important thing for you to know, there will be a quiz afterward. But today I stopped because I needed a Gatorade. So I'm ready to reach for the door at the 7-Eleven, and there's a sign on the door, two signs, one on each door, that says, "No mask, no entrance." No mask, no entrance. Well, Zender didn't have a mask, and Zender is not going to wear a mask unless it's a federal law. But if it's a store policy, I'm going to push it. I'm going to push it, and that's what I did. I was just in that kind of a mood. I ignored the sign. I went in. Got my Gatorade. There were about maybe 10 people at the 7-Eleven. They were looking at me like I was a leper. And I headed for the cash register, and I knew, I had a feeling that I was going to be called out. But I had a plan. I was developing a plan like just 10 seconds before I was to step up. Of course, I tried my best and do the 6 feet with a guy in front of me. This is all just so noxious to me. The whole thing, of course, you know, if you listen to yesterday's video. So I get up there and the lady says, "Sir," I'm the only guy in the store without a mask, obviously, and they're all looking at me like the second coming of Satan. "So, sir, you need to have a mask or you can't be in the store." And this is what I said. I quote, "Eke makans I sing Gasconla Feskin Matam." I made it up as I went. I tried to sound like I was speaking a foreign language. I didn't know what I was saying. I just made it sound as good as I could. And she said, and she bought it. She, sir, mask. You need a mask. Meh. Mask. I simakalo kong ice. I can nai sonkelo fu at skinovelso. Skinovelso. Askobo. And she insisted on speaking English to a guy who obviously did not know a word of English. She pointed to a camera in the corner and she said, if you get, you're being recorded and you could get in big trouble with the police on this camera. Camer escompele, I me mosconoe apps, ascomonjas, scalaconfo. I just tortured this woman, tortured her, and I loved every second of it. She sold me my Gatorade, and I left the store, and I felt like I should say thank you. So I did. I said, Omskiva, Omskiva, Skova, Omskiva, and I left the store. This actually happened. I am at my wit's end. I've had it. And if the police had pulled me up, how do you pull over a runner? I don't know. If the police had come up behind me and accosted me, I would have said, Eski? Skuva skim boom. Ah, a la confort, c'est 7-Eleven. Oh, yeah, I'm getting some guy. I don't skin up for cool. Askandu? Mare? Hmm? 7-Eleven, Admon guy, Dosi. I will reign victorious. Now, my sheet mask does not arrive until the day after tomorrow. No, tomorrow, as you're listening to this, Thursday, my sheet mask arrives, but I can't carry my sheet mask with me on my run, so I did have another option, but I probably shouldn't mention it here because some people might take offense to it. I was going to mention it, but I thought, no, maybe I better not. I'll think about it, but I did have an alternate plan. Something I would carry in my pocket that was not a mask, but was something else. I'll think about this. You may be asking, Martin, what if we're around? You say we're not appointed to indignation, but it seems like it's getting close. We're seeing this stuff develop so quickly. What if we're around when the mark of the beast comes? I'm glad you asked. And nobody else is going to tell you this, but I'm confident in telling you this. Some members of the body of Christ even say to me when I present to them what I'm about to present to you, Martin, are you crazy? I'm not taking the chance. Okay, well, here's what I'm telling you. If we were to be here, you could take the mark of the beast. This, what I believe, if you watch yesterday's show called COVID-20, the sheep line up for the mark of the beast. Watch that show. Show number 407, MZTV 407. The mark of the beast will be, I see it now, it's very clear to me, a universal vaccination, a global vaccination, a required vaccination that without it, you will not be able to go to a store. You will not be able to get on a flight. You will not be able to visit your kids across town. You will not be able to leave your house and they will know. They will know. You won't be able to go online to buy or sell, whether on eBay or Amazon or Etsy or any of the other fine electronic establishments. The reason I say that you could take the mark of the beast, and I've really said this before, I said if the mark of the beast comes along, I would say, give me two. Give me two. Give me three. Because I am so confident that I am sealed by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. I've been designated beforehand for membership in the body of Christ. I am protected because of that. It's the people of the world who have to worry about the mark of the beast. It's the people of the world because they're not under this particular protection that you and I are under, which is the body of Christ, being designated beforehand for the place of a son and the place of a daughter. This is our pre-designation. And this is our safety. As I've always said, we have a sheen of Christ around us. Now, I'm not recommending this if you're not in the body of Christ. I am not. I would never tell my son to do this. I talked about my son yesterday. I would tell my son, don't take the mark of the beast. Don't do it. Don't take the universal vaccination. But of course he will. Of course he will. He goes along with everything else. I love the kid, though. Listen, he called me today. I want you folks to be... I've talked about my son a lot in the last year, and he has no idea I'm talking about him because I don't think he's allowed to watch his dad's show because I'm a sinner, if you didn't know that. And I'm deceived because I believe Jesus Christ is the Savior of all humanity. He talked about that yesterday. So... But I want you to know that I have a good relationship with my son. We talk about theological things rarely these days. We will if something comes up. He had his son, named Theo, on his shoulders, and he was walking around the block in Ohio, and he FaceTimed me, and we had a nice fellowship, me and my son Paul and Theo. So just so you know, as stressful as this situation is, knowing that my son is leading his family into the tribulation, I had to put it out of my mind today, and I just talked to him, and it was wonderful. I said, son, Theo is so fortunate to have such a good dad. You put him on your shoulders, and this is what I did with my kids. I set a great example, I must admit. I won't deny it. Paul's a good father because I was a good father to him, and because my father was a good father to me. It goes down the line. So he's walking his son, and we had a nice time of fellowship, just not around the Word of God, because we're enemies as far as that goes. He's an enemy of the cross of Christ. I'm a herald of the cross of Christ. A little conflict there, you might say. I would never tell him to take the mark of the beast, because it's fatal for him and for Israel. But for the body of Christ, we are special. You need to always remember this, that we are sealed with the Spirit, and we're untouchable. We have the sheen around us. Remember, I've always told you this, the sheen of Christ. If Satan is this far from you, Christ is this far from you, right against you, right up against you. Nothing can penetrate you except what God wants to penetrate you. So we could take the mark of the beast all day. It doesn't affect us. We're not in this realm. We're not of the world. We're not of the earth. We're of the celestial realm. And Christ will protect us. That's the faith I have, that I could stand there and take it. I mean, I wouldn't be completely comfortable. I wouldn't want to, and I won't have to. Now I'm going to get to this part. Oh, before I do, I have to say this, very important. Romans 13:1, Paul tells us to be subject to the superior authority. So that is your backstop for taking the mark of the beast. If this becomes federal law, which it will, I believe, probably next year. I don't know if you watched that video I linked to you. Dr. Shiva, he's an Indian doctor, very smart guy. I linked you to that video yesterday. This guy is very smart about what's happening in the government with Trump and with Dr. Fauci, Dr. Bricks. Fauci and Bricks are all in cahoots with Bill Gates, who wants to come up with the universal vaccination. But the timing is what rolled me, rock and rolled me, when I saw that video. And this guy, Dr. Shiva, said that this rollout of this universal inoculation against any future virus, which of course everybody wants to do now because this is so horrible, the whole thing's manufactured, the fear is manufactured for a political purpose. Anyway, this thing could roll out by, he said, 6 to 9 months. 6 to 9 months. I got my trusty little fingers out. I said, let's see, we're in April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January. 9 months will be January. 2 months before, I believe, the tribulation will begin. And so I believe that we very well could be snatched away within the next 9 months. Now, back to Romans 13:1. Paul says, be subject to the superior authorities. This applies to now. While Israel is in abeyance, Israel has been temporarily cast aside, and the body of Christ is now front and center in God's operations. But we are the ones who are keeping at bay the man of lawlessness. We are detaining, as Paul says, we are detaining the man of lawlessness from being unveiled, maybe formally unveiled. He's on the world scene, and I believe it's Donald J. Trump, although when he becomes the man of lawlessness, it won't be Donald J. Trump. it will be a supernatural evil being inhabiting him, much as Satan inhabited Judas to betray Christ. So this thing will take place, I believe, very soon, less than a year. And since we're still under the era of the nations, when Paul's gospel is front and center, that Paul's injunction, Romans 13:1, applies, be subject to superior authority. So you would have recourse if you took the mark of the beast because it was federal law, because the president said you had to do it, and they wrote it into law. Every citizen of the globe must take this inoculation. You would be justified in taking it because you're just obeying. Excuse me, I got the coronavirus today when I went into that store. Incredibly, I got it from somebody who was wearing a mask, obviously, because I didn't have one on. What a paradox. Excuse me. So, you would be justified in doing it. You would have scriptural recourse from our apostle. You could stand before Christ, and Christ would say, oh, God, let's put it right up to God, right up to God. Let's go to the top. God would say, why did you take the mark of the beast? You took the mark of the beast just so you could buy Gatorade at the 7-Eleven? Is that why you took the mark of the beast? I would say, no, my God. And I would mean it literally then, my God. No. Your apostle Paul said, be subject to the superior authorities. And the superior authorities told me to take the mark of the beast. Take the mark of the beast. So I took the mark of the beast. Oh. Well, very good defense. I can't argue with you, Sender. So, pass, friend. Enter into your joy. Thank you, God. Thank you. So, you have recourse. But this is why I think we won't face this situation, because why would God have any member of the body of Christ to take the mark of the beast? The beast. What do we have to do with Satan? Nothing. We're people of peace. We're people of conciliation. We're heralding the conciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we have nothing to do with these times of evil and these times of darkness. We're ministers of righteousness. We're ministers of peace. We're ministers of God's conciliation. That God is at peace with the world. So when Paul says be subject to superior authorities, that would require us to take the mark of the beast. Yes, it would. You would be required, according to the gospel of the grace of God, to take the mark of the beast, because it would come to you via a superior authority. And before you think the superior authority might be 7-Eleven, I beg to differ. Because Paul says later in Romans 13, not for vain is the authority wearing the sword. That is, this is an authority that is backed by power, backed by the sword, backed by the police, the law, these things. So we're not talking about 7-Eleven. Okay, store policy. Still, yes, I should observe store policy, but I didn't. I don't set myself up as a good example here. I have a problem. You remember Woody Allen in the movie Annie Hall? At the end, where, you know, he and Annie break up when they're living in New York City, and then Annie moves to L.A., and Woody, he goes to California to find Annie, and he can't drive, because he never drives in New York, he always takes taxi cabs, so he rented a car and has no idea how to drive, when he backed up into a bunch of different cars, and a police cruiser shows up, writes him a ticket, he takes the ticket very nervously, He just takes the ticket and he goes, thank you, officer, and he crumbles it up and throws it down. He goes, I'm sorry, officer, I've always had a real problem with authority. I've had a real problem with authority. I have no problem with authority of Christ, but I have a problem with the authority of the people at 7-Eleven. However, the people of 7-Eleven are exercising the authority of God, although they're not civil authorities. Nevertheless, I should have gone along with it, but I didn't. I couldn't. So, in this, I apologize to you, apologize to God, to Christ, to 7-Eleven. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. My God's walking there. No, that's Japanese. I don't know what language I was speaking. I told this story to Seth and to Manfred, and they thought it was hilarious, and they thought it sounded like some kind of Russian accent. Sake, silence, her. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. So because Paul says be subject to the superior authorities, and because taking the mark of the beast would be so antithetical to everything we are and everything Christ makes us, this is, I think, just about a proof that we will not be here for the mark of the beast. Because if we were here, we'd have to take it via Romans 13:1. But God will not have us take the mark of the beast. Therefore, Romans 13:1 will have to be obsolete by the time the mark of the beast comes along. And when I say Romans 13:1 is obsolete, rejoice, because that would mean that the body of Christ on the earth would be obsolete. And so we won't be here at that time. We will not be here, because otherwise we'd have to take it. God will never have us take it. So Romans 13:1 will retire. In fact, the whole book of Romans will retire. All of Paul's letters will retire. They will not be applicable anymore after we are snatched away, the body of Christ. Do you realize that? People may still read Paul's letters for historical value or to find out what they missed. Oh, look at this, Harold. If only we had been reading Romans instead of James. If only we had been reading 1 Thessalonians instead of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why didn't we get Martin Zender's book, The First Idiot in Heaven? Everything would have been clear to us. That's true. It would have been. But no. And my son will be saying the same thing. Why didn't I read Martin's, my dad's book? Everything would have been clear to me. He told me to read it. He signed a copy for me. To my dear son, Paul, I pray that this book is a great blessing to you. But I never read it because my church leaders told me that my dad was a terrible sinner. He didn't know anything. He was an amateur. Didn't have a diploma. Didn't go to any of the schools. Didn't graduate from a seminary. Drinks wine during his shows. What a heathen. What an outcast. Yeah, well, how do you like me now? That's what I'll say when I descend from heaven from my exalted platform in Sector 62 to assist my son, his wife, his two children, to assist them, to help them get through the tribulation, and they have something to eat, because if you take the mark of the beast, well, it's true, if you take the mark of the beast, you will have plenty to eat, but, the wrath of God will be upon you, but it's not upon us, and that's the whole point. We are not appointed to wrath. It's not for us, so even though we're seeing some of these things happening now, if you notice, I have no time for 1 Corinthians 15 today. We're seeing some of these things now, and a fellow saint asked me recently, how much of this stuff are we going to see? How close do you think it's going to get? Well, it's apparent to me now that it's going to be very close. It's not going to be one of these things now where, I remember A. Enoch used to say there might be a 20-year cushion. Might be 20 years between when the body of Christ is snatched away and the tribulation starts. Well, we know that's not true now. It's not going to be 20 years. Might be 20 minutes. It might be 20 minutes, but you know what? That's going to be enough.